This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Arms Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics, Segment 5, starting out talking about the situation between the U.S. and Iran. We have an interesting gentleman on the right line right now. Gentleman's name is Trita Parsi. Let me tell you just a little bit about him, first of all. He is the president of the National Iranian American Council, and he's the author of Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Democracy. Trita has a Ph.D. from Johns Hopkins University. Interesting guy. We're going to talk a little bit about his organization first, and then we're going to talk about what the organization believes is a real misconception between the U.S. and Iran. Tell me, first of all, about the National Iranian American Council, if you would, Trita.
Thank you. NIAC, as we call it, is the nation's largest grassroots, Iranian American grassroots organization. It's founded in 2002 and originally was aimed to increase the Iranian American community's participation in political and democratic processes here in the United States. Over time, as the risk of war between the United States and Iran increased significantly, it increasingly became involved in trying to make sure that this conflict would be resolved peacefully and without any use of military force, because we believe that a military conflict between the United States and Iran would be devastating for the U.S., and it would also be quite detrimental, of course, to the Iranians, particularly for the pro-democracy movement in Iran, who would be set back a full generation if this conflict over the nuclear issue had deteriorated into a military confrontation.
I'd like to know why you guys feel that, or why your organization, I'm sorry, feels that it would be devastating for the United States. I personally believe from a societal advancement standpoint, it would be devastating. But in terms of any other issue, please explain that one to me, if you would.
I'll just take a look at what happened with the Iraq War and the tremendous devastation that has, of course, not only brought on the Iraqi society, I mean, Iraq is essentially destroyed, but also for the United States, the tremendous cost of that conflict and the devastation that has brought in terms of human life, as well as the cost to the economy. Mm-hmm. War with Iran would be worse than war with Iraq. Much more devastating to the U.S. economy, much more difficult for the United States to be able to handle. And as a result, we believe that it would be doing far more damage to the United States than what the Iraq war has done. And at the same time, the pro-democracy movement in Iran, which is Iranian society itself that is slowly but surely pushing matters in a more democratic direction in Iran, in the hope of being able to have a full democracy, the last thing they need is another military confrontation. Because military confrontation sets them back a generation. Because whenever you have military confrontation, what it does internally is that it shuts down the voices for change, because everything becomes securitized. Everything is about security, not about the rights of the population. We've already seen that happening several times in Iran. Frankly, we saw a bit of that phenomenon take place in the United States after 9/11, in which you could get legislation that limited the liberties of the American people for the sake of security in a manner that you absolutely could not have done prior to 9/11.
Well, we're going to be talking about that in segments 7 and 8 on the show. I happen to agree with you completely on that one. What I find to be interesting about you, aside from your knowledge, your education, your beliefs, is that you were born in Iran, but you were actually raised in Sweden, and then you came over to the United States, completed a Ph.D. degree from Johns Hopkins University, and now the National Iranian Council, National Iranian American Council, is headquartered in Washington, D.C. How did you come to the conclusions that you have come to? Certainly not by reading the conventional press.
I've had the good fortune to be able to work on many of these issues. I've worked in Congress. I served for the Swedish government in the UN Security Council in the late 1990s. Got to see what diplomacy could achieve, as well as the tremendous difficulties and dedication you need to have in order to make sure that it succeeds. I also saw the tremendous cost that was imposed on the U.S. for not pursuing diplomacy. How many problems actually could have gotten resolved if we were going down the diplomatic path instead of pursuing such a militaristic foreign policy. It made me very committed to try to see what could be done to shift the U.S.'s, the center of U.S. foreign policy towards diplomacy, which clearly under President Obama did take place to a very large extent. The question is it fully reversible, or did he manage to institutionalize the necessity of diplomacy as a central point of American statecraft?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the question of Iran per se, you know, having been born there and having been able to visit, knowing a lot of people there, it was quite clear that this is a very different country than the image we have here in the West, particularly in the United States. The United States has not had diplomatic relations with Iran for 37 years, so its understanding of Iran is extremely limited. It doesn't mean that the government in Iran is good in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I think it's actually quite negative in many different ways, and I think the population would like to see a different government. It would like to see a different government that is achieved through peaceful means, through evolution, not through revolution, because they had a revolution 37 years ago, and they went from one bad regime to another. In fact, in many ways, they went to a worse regime.
Well, let me ask you this. One of the complaints right now that the average American has, and I don't want to necessarily, I don't want to put myself in that category, because my questions are based on what I think are pretty informed opinions that I have and the rest of it, but I'm kind of being the devil's advocate here. And one of the comments that you get from the average guy in the street, whether you're in Washington, D.C. or New York City or Seattle, Washington or whatsoever, is you're going to get the question, they're going to say, yeah, but Iran is supposedly, and they're going to take out the word supposedly because they are convinced that Iran is a huge supporter of terrorism worldwide. Comment on that, would you?
Well, I think there definitely is evidence that the Iranians have been involved in terrorism in the past. I think that is primarily in the pre-2001 era. But here's the deal here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to resolve the issue, or do you want to complain that these things have happened in the past?
Hey, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Because just going back and saying, well, they did this and they did that, and rest assured, there's plenty of Iranians that do exactly the same thing and are complaining about everything the United States has done for the last 50 years. Well, I mean, that's one way of approaching the issue. It certainly will not lead to a solution. It will just lead to an intensification of the conflict, and then our grandchildren will continue to talk about an even growing list of errors and sins that have been committed by the two sides.
Mm-hmm.
Once you make a decision that you want to resolve it, then you change your paradigm and your way of approaching the issue. It's not that you whitewash the past. It's that you're trying to whitewash the future. You're trying to create a future that is different from the past. And that's very different than just sitting there and complaining about the past.
Now, I would have to guess that that's kind of the philosophy of the National Iranian American Council. Am I correct?
I would say so, because rest assured, the vast majority of Iranian Americans in this country came to this country and precisely because they didn't want to live under the Islamic government in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
But they suffered personally. My father was jailed by both the Shah's government and by the Khomeini government later on. And the vast majority have come to the conclusion that we have to find a way to move on. We have to find a way to be able to make sure that the future is better rather than trying to constantly relitigate the past.
You know, I have to say I agree with that 100%, that there is no chance of solving a problem if both sides are convinced and they're not willing to listen to what the other side has to say or what the other side is willing to do. If that's the case, there is no chance of being able to solve a problem intelligently, in my opinion. I have to go back on this, and I have to say that Persian society was and probably still is a very sophisticated society. They're not stupid, uneducated people. And I have to believe that there is a solution to this problem. Trita, we're going to take a real quick break here for a commercial. We're going to be right back and wrap up this conversation with Trita Parsi. He is the president of the National Iranian American Council, and he's the author of Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Concur does what might seem impossible for your business. It makes employees happy and finance happy. How? Well, employees love automated expense reports and invoices they can submit and approve from anywhere. And finance loves that they have full visibility into employee spend. Plus, Concur integrates with leading finance systems. Concur makes the process better for everyone. Concur. Expense. Travel. Invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion with Trita Parsi, interesting man who was born in Iran, grew up in Sweden, came to the United States, received a PhD from Johns Hopkins University. Very, very interesting guy. We're going to switch the subject, not necessarily from just talking generically about Iran. We're going to talk a little bit about terrorism in the Middle East. It's certainly not terrorism just in Iran, because I would have to guess that the level of terrorism in Iran is probably pretty minimal. But, you know, when you look at the other countries, when you look at Syria, when you look at Lebanon, when you look at some of the other countries, it's pretty scary what's going on. Any comments, Mr. Parsi?
Yeah, you also asked earlier on, you know, what do we do about the fact that there has been involvement by the Iranian government in terrorism? I think if you're really worried and concerned about terrorism, which we should be, we should really address the real problem here, which Iran, I think, is more of a marginal player there. The real problem is what is coming out of Saudi Arabia these days. If you take a look at the State Department's own list of terrorists supporting terrorist groups, roughly 44 of those groups are Sunni Salafi Wahhabi organizations with one connection or another to Saudi Arabia, whether financial or ideological. There's only two groups on that list that have clear relation with the Iranian government. When we take a look at the ISIS and other Al-Qaeda terrorism that killed Americans in New York, that killed Americans in Florida or in San Bernardino, these are not terrorist groups that have been inspired by Iran, or what's happened in London, in Brussels, in Paris, in Nice. These are all Salafi Wahhabi terrorist organizations who have deep connections to Saudi Arabia. So if we truly want to address the issue of terrorism, why did Donald Trump go to Riyadh in his first foreign visit, hug the Saudi king unreservedly, and is now doing almost everything he can to support the Saudi government, whereas he himself, prior to becoming president, there's clips of him on YouTube in which he clearly is blaming the Saudis for 9/11. I fear that in Washington, we don't have as much credibility on this issue as we should have, precisely because of the fact that we refuse to address the real problem, which is the Saudi government's involvement in terrorism.
About that, you wanted to get on to a different subject, not a different subject necessarily, but you wanted to go in a different direction. And what was that exactly, Trita?
Well, tomorrow, President Trump is very likely to decertify the Iran nuclear deal. This is a deal that was negotiated by the Obama administration. It's a historic achievement in which two very bad scenarios were taken off the table through this deal. The first bad scenario was that the Iranians would be able to have access to a path to a nuclear weapon. And the second scenario that would be very negative was that the United States would end up in a war with Iran. By killing this deal that Trump is now doing, he is putting back those two scenarios on the table. We're essentially going from a situation in which we have a functioning non-proliferation deal that is working, that is delivering, that even the Trump administration grudgingly has had to admit the Iranians are adhering to, and then he's turning that into a crisis by decertifying the deal and open up the opportunity for Congress to kill this deal through new sanctions.
You know, I'd have to say that, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, we are pre-recording this particular segment. We're recording this on Thursday or Wednesday afternoon. So let me just give an opinion about decertifying that deal. I'm not really sure, given the campaign promises that Donald J. Trump made prior to November of last year, I'm not really sure why he's doing what he's doing. I would have to say that we have much bigger fish to fry as a country. You know, he ran on the platform that we would stay out of, as my friend Ron Paul says, you know, basically stay out of the way of folks in the Middle East. And Trump swore that that is exactly what he was going to do. He was going to basically, you know, it was supposedly America for the Americans, and it was, you know, don't meddle in the affairs of other sovereign nations. That's not really what's going on right now. I mean, I can understand why the Americans and the Chinese and the Russians and most of the world seem to be taking the stance that they're taking against North Korea. But in terms of what's going on in the Middle East, you know, that is a region comprised of some very sophisticated people on the one hand, some very simple people on the other hand. But I would have to say that what's going on over there really doesn't belong in the purview, within the purview of the U.S. military whatsoever. Now, the argument against that, and I know you can comment on this, Trita, is people are going to say, yeah, but Look at the terrorist cells that are going, that are in existence and have taken action in America, in Great Britain, in other European countries, etc. Isn't that, in fact, a war? You know, I'm not really sure. How would you comment on that?
Well, whether it's a war or not, it's not related to Iran. It is related to Saudi Arabia, which is a U.S. ally that the U.S. is protecting, that the U.S. is selling $80 billion of weapons to. Mm-hmm. So I understand that people in the region scratched their heads. The United States apparently has a war on terror, and part of that war is to hug the financiers of terror. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, you know, in fact, if that's the case, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, I'm saying if that is the case, what have you accomplished so far? And this is a question, it's not anything else, but what has your organization, the National Iranian American Council, what's it accomplished, let's say, in the last couple of years?
Well, we've played a pretty visible role, an important role, I would say, in supporting the nuclear deal, and I was advising the Obama administration throughout those negotiations, and that's part of what my new book is based on. It's essentially a semi-insider account of what was going on. I had great access to the Iranians as well, with numerous interviews with the Iranian foreign minister.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, and that's been a very, very significant portion of our work for the last couple of years. But I would say one of the most important things is that we took a community, an Iranian-American community that is roughly 1 million in this country, and was very successful financially, high education, but kept a very low profile politically, had difficulty understanding how the U.S. political system worked. And we have done a tremendous amount of work to really lift up their civic education and civic participation. And now you have Iranian-Americans running for Congress, they're raising money for candidates, they're meeting with their members of Congress and politicians at all different levels, and really contributing and adding to our democratic process. That's really quite important in our view, because I think we're not going to have a good democracy if a very large segment of our society is either marginalized in the case of the Iranian-American community, self-marginalized. It wasn't really as if anyone was pushing them out. They were just not comfortable and ready to participate, and I think we have helped make them ready.
Totally understand. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Trita Parsi. Trita is the president of the National Iranian Council, and he's also the author of, among other books, Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Democracy. Trita, going to get you back on the show in the future if you're able. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when, and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. Peter Parsi is a very interesting guy. There's no question about that. And the situation that's going on between Iran right now and the United States, I think, just gives further evidence, as I mentioned in segment two, of really the libertarian philosophy being the correct philosophy when it comes to staying away from other people's businesses. It just makes no sense to get involved in situations like that. But having said that, I've got Daniel McAdams on the line with me right now. Daniel is the CEO of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. By the way, a little plug here. Big Al is going to go ahead with an ongoing monthly donation to the Institute. And the reason I'm doing that, and the reason that I would like you guys to consider doing that is, you know, Ron and Jeff Dice and certainly Daniel McAdams and the rest of the crew are just... they are doing so much, in my opinion, for, what's the best way to put it? Correcting American politics, in my opinion. So let's give them some help if we can. Anyway, having said that, Daniel, my hot button right now is, I read a book. I had the author on the show, author being George Grundy. Book is called Death of a Nation, 9/11 and the Rise of Fascism in America. And the first thing that I thought about as I read through this book and talked with Mr. Grundy is that what he is basically saying is America seems to be going in a direction right now toward fascism. And that is, I would agree with that, that happens to be one of the safeguards of libertarian philosophy, in the sense that when you have a smaller government, that ain't going to happen. Daniel, your opinion?
No, absolutely. I think he's right. And, you know, I have not read the book. I've
I've read a little bit about the book, so I'm at a slight disadvantage. But I would say certainly when you talk about fascism in the classical sense of the word, this the public-private partnership, the corporations in bed with big government, I think there's no question you have fascism now. And you have it, I think, in two of the most disturbing areas. One is in the military and the national security complex area. And you see that with the absolutely ballooning military budget. And it's not a defense budget. It's a military budget. And the other one is in information services. You have group, you have so-called private companies like Google, Facebook, and the others who are absolutely in bed with government. They do the government's bidding. The government says, hey, you need to find collusion with Russia. They say, okay, we'll dig deep and find it. So this is very, very dangerous, and I think he's absolutely on the mark if that's what he's talking about.
You know, that is what he's talking about. I have to tell you, I think it's more than dangerous. I think it's absolutely frightening. Let me just give a bit of an introduction to this book in the sense that what the author does is he presents a comprehensive analysis of the 9/11 attacks. He's saying it's attacks is a serious undertaking. Okay, in Death of a Nation, he took that serious undertaking and I think handled it very, very effectively. If you look at what's gone on in the what has gone on in the United States from a federal governmental standpoint since that terrible event, the government really has, to a very large extent, in many areas, taken over and left decision making away from the public. And I find that to be, as you say, it's dangerous. I find that to be terrifying, Daniel.
Yes, and it's even worse than that because Congress has also stepped out of the game. They've not only taken the public out of it, Congress has taken itself out of it. Everything has gone to the president, to the executive branch. If you want to start a war here, if you want to go start bombing over here, doesn't matter. Nobody wants a part of it. It's only the executive. And this did accelerate after 9/11. This process of devolving all power to the executive branch, and it's exactly what the founders of our country warned us against.
You know, it's interesting how what they warned us against is actually occurring right now. You know, I have a tendency whenever I fly, which is, thank God, not very often anymore, if at all, but I have a tendency to go through the TSA, and I have a tendency to say to myself every time I go through that, you know what, guess who won? It certainly wasn't the United States. I mean, our whole country now is being dictated by the terrorists, which I have to stress, it's my understanding, is primarily Saudi Arabia. And I find that to be really, really interesting. You know, I look at what occurred, Daniel, during the Obama administration, what occurred during the Bush administration, and now what's occurring under the Trump administration in terms of executive actions that are circumventing the checks and balances. I mean, here's a very obvious example. A very obvious example happens to be the lobbing of bombs into Syria that occurred earlier this year. And I'm not saying that was necessarily a bad act, but I'm saying that went entirely beyond Congress. How is something like that possible, man?
How is it possible when we didn't even really know who was behind it, you know? And then the other situation, I mean, that specific situation, even if it was the case, that it happened in the worst case scenario, how on earth is that our business? Are we supposed to be the policeman of the world? Some guy 3/4 of the world away from us does something bad to his own people, and we've got to cough up a few billion dollars to come to the rescue. That's not what it's all about. And this all goes back, Al, to the Wolfowitz doctrine, essentially, which is the idea that the United States has got to be able to control the world absolutely. And if any other power starts coming up that can threaten our absolute hegemony, we've got to smash that power down. And that's what gets us involved in places like Syria, because Syria with Russia involved would empower Russia more in the Middle East. There's no question about it. It would empower Iran. So we've got to go around the world playing whack-a-mole with potential adversaries. And what it leads us to do is spread ourselves so thin that in actuality, we won't be able to be the hegemon because we are completely broke.
Well, let me give you another example of what I'm talking about that I think more people may understand this, and that is, purely and simply, I want you to look at the Affordable Health Care Act. The Affordable Health Care Act was passed without any opinion from the American people whatsoever. 70% of the American public felt that Obamacare wasn't going to work and they did not support it. It was pushed through, and we now have a situation where both sides, the Democrats and the Republicans, understand that there are significant weaknesses, you know, in the ACA, Obamacare. What I know the ACA is a little different, but you know what I'm saying? And now we can't change it. We know from an economic standpoint it's ultimately going to fail. It was created not by executive action, by the government coming out and saying, we know what's good for you, you don't know what's good for yourselves. That is more, in my opinion, fodder for we have to go to a libertarian political view.
And what's especially frightening about that is the complete failure of the fourth estate, the complete failure of the media to play its role in a free society, which is to be a check and balance on government propaganda. You know, government press releases saying Obamacare is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. You've got to get into it or you hate poor people. The media should be out there checking this, you know, and checking this and saying, well, actually, according to our numbers, according to what we see, it's not the case. But the media has completely fallen asleep. It really does remind you of the kind of media you'd see in a totalitarian regime. It doesn't dare question the government.
Well, that's what we have right now, purely and simply speaking. You know, when I read a book like Death of a Nation, 9/11, and the Rise of Fascism in America, when I look at the events that are occurring around the world today, when I look at the involvement of the United States in some of these events, I say to myself, you know, this is a classic example of a government that feels that it knows what's best for the people. And damn the people's opinion, we know what's best. Now we have the media involved in it, we have the government involved in it, and I have to tell you, you said it was dangerous. It's more than dangerous, Daniel. It's absolutely terrifying. We're going to be talking with Daniel again next week. We're also going to be talking with Dr. Paul next week about his new book. I have to tell you, when you see what's going on in the United States today, ladies and gentlemen, please support the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. It's the only sanity out there.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Back here to wrap up KER Economics. You know, I got to tell you, it's been a really good one. Dan McAdams had some great things to say, as did Trita Parsi. He had some wonderful things to say also, in my opinion. Remember, we don't necessarily condone what people are saying on this show, but we do listen to both sides of every single story. If you don't do that, you're only cheating one person, and that's yourself. Got Jeff Deist on the line with me right now. Jeff is the president of the Mises Institute, a fellow golfer as I am, although I'm getting more and more away from it. Jeff, I just did a segment with Daniel McAdams. We were talking about the correlation between what has happened in America since 9/11 under the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and now the Trump administration. I think that our country is going in a fascist direction, and this is, I think, in direct opposition to my personal political philosophy, which is libertarianism. What are your comments, man?
Well, I agree. First and foremost, libertarianism is a political theory.
Yes, it is.
Of the proper role of government and whether there should be any government or just exceedingly limited government. So by definition, a libertarian society would be one where the government is not big enough or powerful enough or wealthy enough to become authoritarian, whether that was authoritarian communist, authoritarian socialist, or authoritarian fascist. So in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, only libertarians promote the idea of a government that cannot become authoritarian. So, so that's first and foremost. But I agree with you. I'll give you my quick and dirty definition of fascism.
Okay.
It would be one, an authoritarian leader who, in other words, if you look at the history of the 20th century, the role of the president has expanded wildly beyond its constitutional boundaries. And so I think that is first and foremost the primary element of a fascist system. However, in communist countries, you know, we saw it with Mao and Stalin, two of the big communists of the 20th century. You can have an authoritarian figure in a left collectivism society too. So an authoritarian figure combined with an alliance between state and business that reaches the point where business owners, entrepreneurs, are no longer serving their own ends, simply that of profit or growth, but are actively serving the ends of the state. So in other words, we no longer care what businessmen want to produce. We're telling them to produce tanks because that's what the country needs. So my definition of fascism would be an authoritarian leader coupled with an alliance between business and government in service of state ends as opposed to proper private ends. So by that definition, I hate to say it, Al, but you could say almost every president of the 20th century had some fascist tendencies. The question is whether they can get away with it or how far they can take it.
I think,
and that's up to us.
Yeah, I think what's happened since the turn of the century, at least, though, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I mean, people have one basic desire in life, and two basic desires, one of which is not even we're talking about on the show, but the other one is a need for power. And I think anybody who rises to the role of being the president of a country like the United States has a very definite need for power. But having said that, I always thought fascism was the type of government where the basic philosophy is the government knows better than you do personally. And we have had example upon example upon example since the turn of the century on that being the case in the United States. The Affordable Health Care Act, for example, is great. That thing passed with a 70% disapproval rating by the American public. You know, I mean, I realize that you take it one step farther and you bring in economic issues, but I don't know. I kind of like my looser definition because to me it's very, very dangerous, Jeff.
Isn't it amazing, Al, that all these things that have no constituency in the American public happen anyway? The Affordable Care Act, the ongoing war in Afghanistan, outside of the D.C. Beltway, you can't find anybody who wants to stay in Afghanistan. I mean, it is a Beltway issue. There's no constituency for these Middle East wars, but they continue. So the question becomes, is democracy a charade? Or do we have authoritarian leaders who do what they care to do regardless of what we want? I think the plain answer is yes.
So you're saying you would agree with me that the democracy in the United States today would flourish under libertarianism, but certainly isn't flourishing right now. That's my opinion quite strongly, Jeff.
Well, I believe in marketplace democracy, which happens every day in our own choices. And I believe if there is a government, it ought to be so small and so powerless that it's sort of a night watchman. It's just providing some referee functions for society, not playing an active role in it. So I agree with you. I think that what we've got right now is authoritarian and certainly shows some signs of heading towards fascism.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, a subject that we didn't discuss with Dan is purely and simply, is this where we're going to be for a long period of time, or is America going to wise up through the voting booth or whatever have you, or are we beyond that stage now where perhaps the corner turn that we're at right now might lead to a good place where the sun is shining instead of lead to the place where I think it could, where it's raining and cloudy and foggy and not really good for anybody? What do you think, man?
Al, it's very much a question of the modern world. We don't know whether human nature will permit us to make radical changes unless there is some sort of awful material deprivation, hunger, financial crash, currency crisis, etc., or outright revolution and war. In other words, does it take something so unpleasant to sort of shake us out of our sleepwalking, or can we wake up on our own and reverse course without having to go through something ugly and unpleasant? It's a tough question, especially in the modern age, and I fear that the answer is no, that it's going to take a real shock to wake us up.
Well, I think we're in agreement on that one. Let me say, when you have events going on in the country like we have right now, where you got students at Berkeley, one of the top universities in America, who are refusing to take finals because it's going to be too hard on them emotionally or what have you, when you have demonstrations at schools that are actually endangering, in some cases even causing the loss of human life going on, I mean, we have a situation in the U.S. very dramatically exemplified by, you know, right across the street from the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Things are getting worse and worse and worse, Jeff, and I'm quite frankly very, very pessimistic. Are you?
Well, it's a good question. You also have to consider whether things are actually getting worse or whether our perception is that they are. It wasn't too long ago, even 30 years ago, we simply didn't know about all the trouble around the world because we weren't as connected digitally. But it sure feels that way. And as you know, in politics, perception is reality. So the perception is that things aren't going well. And as a result of that, there's an awful lot of angry people. That is what I would say is the biggest difference that I personally feel in the United States. In Kuwait, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I think your listeners know what I'm talking about. There's a tension or an anger out there which is new and unpleasant, and it feels unnatural. It doesn't feel like it did in the 80s when I was a kid.
Well, I got to tell you, I agree with you 100% on that one. Let me ask you one last thing. We've only got about 50 seconds left here. Summarize the event that you folks had along with the Ron Paul Institute in New York City. I know you took your kids there and they had a great time. How did it go in general? How many people?
Well, we had a great event in New York City, our 35th anniversary. We had a wonderful crowd of 400 people. And if you go to Mises.org, we'll be putting those talks up this week, including especially those of you who know and enjoy Hans Hermann Hoppe. He doesn't speak much in the United States. This is his only U.S. appearance this year. He gave an absolutely fantastic keynote speech Saturday night, and it'll be on our website tomorrow, Mises.org.
Well, I got to tell you, your introductory speech, which we put up on our site last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, I thought also was a real piece of work. You did a great job, as you always do, Jeff. Hopefully we'll see each other at the Mises Outreach in Seattle coming up this spring. Looking forward to it. Jeff, thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, Al.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer who's on the go to your phone and call right now to try the world's first portable mini CPAP device, absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP, an engineering marvel that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Its unique design is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. No more dragging around a big, bulky CPAP. Even better, now you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 restful nights by calling minicpap.com, 1-800-962-4276. Transcend is FAA compliant, too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. You can also add a battery pack that's as tiny as a deck of cards. So now you can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. But don't wait. To receive your 10-night in-home trial, call minicpap.com now. 1-800-962-4276. That's 1-800-962-4276.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.